Our scripture reading for this morning will come from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. We'll be reading from chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, beginning with verse 1, and then we'll skip down to verse 13 and read through verse 26. And it is found on page 1064 and 65 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Those words, of course, are the summation of Martin Luther King Jr.'s great I Have a Dream speech, delivered in Washington, D.C. 50 years ago. In that speech, Dr. King talks about a dream that is deeply rooted in the American dream, a dream of freedom for all God's people, regardless of who they are, regardless of race or religion or class. We'll be celebrating that American dream this week as we observe our nation's independence and 237 years of living as a free nation. The story of our country, in many respects, is the story of unfolding freedom. The United States is the first country born in the Enlightenment, and our story is a story of freedom. And the history of our country has been the history of unfolding freedom. As a nation, we have been truly blessed in the measure of freedom that we enjoy. There are many people around the world who can only dream of the freedom that we have as a country and the freedom that we have as people. Freedom of assembly, the freedom to worship, the freedom to say what we want to say, the freedom of speech, even the freedom to bear arms. There are many, many people around the world who long to have the kind of freedom that we have. But the most important thing, I think, about freedom is not that we have freedom. The most important thing is what we do with that freedom, how we live our lives out as free people. Sometimes I wonder if, despite all of our freedom, that we as a nation are really free. This morning I want to talk a little bit about freedom, real freedom, the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the kind of freedom that the Apostle Paul is talking about in our passage this morning. Often when we think of freedom, we think of freedom from something. Freedom from tyranny, freedom from fear, freedom from hunger, freedom from having the government spying on us, freedom from restraint, freedom to be able to do whatever it is we want to do. That's kind of the way that we understand freedom, the freedom to live our lives the way that we want to live them, the freedom not to have anyone else impose their whatever they want on our lives. We have freedom to do whatever we want to do. That's the way we kind of define freedom, and that's what we think of when we think of freedom. But real freedom, the kind of freedom that Paul is talking about in our text this morning, is not just the freedom from something, but real freedom is always freedom for something. Real freedom is the freedom to live for God and to be the people that God has called us to be. The story of the Bible, in many respects, is the story of freedom. The Bible talks about freedom in both the Old Testament and the New Testament again and again. Freedom is a very important concept in the Word of God. In the book of Exodus, we are told that God frees the children of Israel from Egyptian slavery. Not so that they could go out into the wilderness to live any way they want to live, but we are told that God frees them so that they could go to worship God and live as God's people in the world. And it's towards that end that God gave them the law, the Torah. God takes them to Mount Sinai and God gives them the law. And it's important to understand that God gives them the law not in order to save them. God has already saved them. God has already redeemed them. God has already liberated them from Egyptian oppression. So God does not give them the law as a means to be able to lift themselves up by their own moral bootstraps. Rather, God gives them the law so that they might live as God's free people in the world. God, in God's grace and God's mercy, gives them the law so that they might know what it means to be God's people. And God tells them, in effect, obey my laws and my ordinances and my commandments and you will live. But disobey my laws and you will be back in slavery again, enslaved to your disordered passions and desires. It's what Paul in our text this morning calls the flesh, that sinful power resident in human existence that is at enmity with God. We have all known people enslaved by the flesh, people enslaved by anger, people enslaved by hatred, by jealousy, by greed, by sexual impurity, people enslaved by all kinds of things that destroy them, that can tear them apart and tear communities apart and tear nations apart. And so the law was given to Israel in order to help them to live as God's free people so that they wouldn't tear themselves apart, that they would know what it means to live in freedom. But that's what makes what the Apostle Paul says in our text this morning so radical. Radical to many people in his day and ours. Because Paul says that now, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have real freedom. Not only do we have freedom from the power of sin and death, but Paul says that we have freedom from the law itself. The law that was given to Moses and the Israelites in an act of grace and mercy. Paul says that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're no longer governed by the law. The law no longer has power over our lives. We are free from all of that. It's a radical statement that Paul makes. And so maybe we can understand why some Christians were alarmed at what Paul was saying. Some Christians, particularly Jewish Christians, were so alarmed that they were going back into the Galatian community and they were saying, you know, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. Yes, in Jesus Christ we have been set free. But freedom is not enough. You have to have rules and commandments and regulations that govern people's behavior. Everyone knows you got to have rules and regulations. People need structure. They need instruction. They need a guide to be able to help them to be able to live. Without commandments and regulations and ordinances, freedom turns into license, and license turns into chaos, and it's a disaster for everyone. And so the missionaries that come into the Galatian community come in and they stir things up. They convince the Galatian community that if they really want to live as God's people, they need commandments. They need guides. They need the law. And so they stir the people up. And yet the Apostle Paul will remind the people in Galatia that they are not saved by the law. He will remind them that they are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, yes, they have freedom. A freedom not only from sin and death, but freedom from even the law. I confess this morning that my sympathies are with the missionaries that have come into the community. I confess this morning that I'm kind of a rule kind of guy. I'm a person that likes structure. I want to know what the rules are. Give me the rules. Give me the commandments. Give me the guides. Freedom is a wonderful blessing, but it's also a big responsibility, and not everyone is able to handle freedom. I saw a magazine not long ago that was featuring the 50 top partying colleges and universities in the country. Every year, there are various magazines that put out the top 50 colleges and universities for academic reasons, but this one had the top 50 partying schools and universities. And I remember, of course, I am reminded that this year, thousands of young people will be graduating from high school. Many of them will be moving out of their parents' home to go away to college. They'll have a measure of freedom for the first time. No one will be telling them when to get up or when to come home. No one will be watching over their shoulder, making them go to class. They will have a taste of freedom. Many of them will know how to live into that freedom. They will do what they're supposed to do. They will go to class. They will study hard. And they will do well in college. But we know that many others will not. We know that there were some who will use their freedom to party and to hang out with the wrong crowds until their freedom is curtailed in some way, either by their parents who are paying for it or by the university itself that puts them on probation. But not everybody can handle freedom. Sometimes we human beings just can't handle freedom. There's something about us, something about our fallen nature that oftentimes we use our freedom to devour one another and to exploit one another. So everyone can't handle freedom. No one likes rules and regulations. I hear that all the time from businesses complaining about rules and regulations, excessive rules and regulations. But we need rules. We need guidance. We need laws. We need people who help us to stay on the true and the sure. But Paul, in our text this morning, tells us that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have freedom. Not only freedom from sin and death, but freedom from the law. And yet Paul reminds us that it's not the kind of freedom that allows us to do anything that we want. It's not the kind of freedom that allows us to live any way we please, but it's a special kind of freedom. It's the freedom to live as God's people, because that's what real freedom is all about. Paul says, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been set free. You have been set free. Claim your freedom. Don't go back and live under slavery again, but claim your freedom. But what kind of freedom is Paul talking about here this morning? What kind of freedom is Paul telling us that we have? If the law is not there to regulate our freedom, then how are we to live? How are we human beings who are often sinful, who often give ourselves over to our sinful natures? How are we to live? What does Paul mean when Paul talks about freedom? Well, Paul says a number of things about freedom. First of all, Paul says that real freedom is freedom that is guided by the Spirit. For Paul, it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and not the law that now guides the Christian community. It is the Spirit operating in our lives and in our communities that changes us and transforms us more and more into the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul says the problem with the law is that it could tell us what we were doing wrong. The law could shame us, and it could blame us, and it could restrain us, but it could not change us. But Paul says that now we have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, and the Spirit actually changes us. It works in our hearts, fashioning us, changing us, so that more and more we come to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, live by the Spirit and be guided by the Spirit. You know, you can tell when someone is walking in the Spirit. You can tell when someone is being guided by the Spirit. Because when they're guided by the Spirit, you really are set free. People who walk in the Spirit really are free. They're free from anger. They're free from envy. They're free from greed. They're free from strife. They're free from sexual impurity. They're free from divisiveness. When people are walking in the Spirit, they're really free. The Spirit actually does change our hearts and our minds so that we are truly free to be the people that God has called us to be. We are free to bear fruit that is worthy of the Spirit. Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. The Spirit is not just about speaking in tongues or prophesying or being engaged in lively worship, but the Spirit is about that character that reflects our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're being guided by the Spirit, there ought to be some change. If you're really guided by the Spirit, your life ought to reflect that change. I know people who talk about the fact that they are Christians, and maybe they are, but if your life isn't reflected in change, if that fruit of the Spirit is not there, then I wonder if your life is open to the power of the Spirit. There ought to be some change. Don't tell me that you're following the Spirit and there's anger in your life. Don't tell me you're following the Spirit and there's divisiveness among you. Don't tell me that you're following the Spirit and you're a person who refuses to forgive. If you're walking in the Spirit and you are guided by the Spirit and you're being led by the Spirit, there ought to be some fruits that everyone can see. Fruits of gentleness, fruits that reflect our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His life. Unfortunately, the church has not always been known by the fruits of the Spirit, at least if the fruits of the Spirit are what Paul say they are. When I was on vacation, I was talking to a young man at a restaurant, a very nice young man, kind of young man that anybody would love to have in the church. But he asked me what it was that I did, and I told him that I was a pastor, and then suddenly he clammed up and didn't want to have anything else to say or to do with me. And I'm used to rejection. I don't mind rejection at all. But I do want to be rejected for the right thing. And unfortunately, the face of the Christian faith that this young man has often seen has not been the face where the fruits of the Spirit has shone through. Oftentimes, the face of Christianity that he has seen has been a face of divisiveness and anger. And so we are called to have the fruits of the Spirit operating in our lives and to reflect that Spirit to all that we meet. The second thing Paul tells us is that real freedom is the freedom to love. Real freedom is the freedom to give ourselves away in love. Paul tells us that this is what the law was always about. The law was always about love. Jesus told the Pharisees of his day that God gave them the law of Moses because of the hardness of their hearts. Their hearts were hard and cold. And when your hearts are hard and cold, then the only thing you can do is give people directions and instructions and laws and ordinances. That's what you had to have when your hearts are hard and cold. Your behavior has to be restrained. But now you and I, through the power of the Spirit, we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are children of God along with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit operating in our lives, changing us. And so now, through the Spirit, through the power of the Spirit, we've been set free to love. To love God and to love one another. Augustine said, love and do what you want. And I think he was saying that if you truly love God and truly love others, then you are free to do whatever you want, because what you want will be an expression of love towards God and towards others. Sometimes getting people to understand the freedom that we have to love is difficult for many of us. Oftentimes people come and they say, what are the rules? Pastor, show us the rules. Show us the instructions. Give us some instructions. Give us some guidance. Give us the 7 principles that help us figure it all out. Give us the rules, the commandments. Help us to find the guide that we can live by. What are the rules? Paul says, if you want a rule, if you want a commandment, here it is. Love one another. Because that's what the law was always about. The law always was about loving one another. If you love someone, you won't steal from them. If you love someone, you won't murder them. If you love someone, you won't commit adultery with their wives. If you love your parents, you will honor them. If you love God, you will honor God. The law was always about love. And Paul says now, in the Lord Jesus Christ, as people of the Spirit, as people that have the Spirit operating in our lives, we have been empowered to love, to truly love, to love God, and to love one another. And then Paul says something that is a bit astounding when you stop to think about it. Paul says, be servants to one another. I like what the actual Greek says. The actual Greek says, be slaves to one another. Paul doesn't say be slaves to God. He doesn't say be slaves to righteousness. He says be slaves to one another. You and I who have freedom, freedom in Christ, have the freedom to serve one another, to be slaves to one another. It's similar to what Paul says in the book of Ephesians when he says submit to one another. We are called to serve one another. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we as God's people could convince the rest of our nation to serve one another? Instead of asserting our rights, instead of insisting that everyone respect our rights and our freedoms, what if we actually served one another? Like that woman did who washed Jesus' feet with her hair. What if we took the time to truly serve one another and be slaves to one another? That's hard to hear in our society because slavery, our own history with slavery, and there's nothing more at odds with our notion of freedom than slavery. But Paul says serve one another, be slaves to one another. That's what real freedom is all about. It's freedom to be servants of one another, freedom to love one another, freedom to be guided by the Spirit so that we can bear the fruit that God has called us to bear. This week we'll be celebrating our nation's independence. We're still free, at least I think we're still free, but we are devouring and consuming one another. All you have to do is turn on TV and you can see that. The works of the flesh are everywhere around us. The reality shows to constantly pit people against one another, breeding competition, strife, and jealousy. Sitcoms and dramas that gain ratings by showing drunkenness and carousing and fornication. Even news reports that thrive off of our factions and dissensions. That's what our freedom has come to. Sometimes I wonder what the founding fathers would think if they see what we've done with our freedom, how we use our freedom to devour and bite and consume one another. Is this the freedom that they wanted for us? Is this the freedom that many people fought for? Is this the kind of freedom that sustains us and can keep us and to give our nation life? But today you and I celebrate a different kind of freedom. Today you and I celebrate a real freedom. It's a freedom that calls us out of ourselves, a freedom to live fully for God and for one another, a freedom that would help us to bear fruit that transforms the world. The Apostle Paul says that in Jesus Christ we have been set free. You've been set free. You're free. Really free. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We're really free. We're really free to be gentle. We're really free to be kind to our neighbors. We really are free to be patient with one another. We're really free to have joy deep down inside of our hearts. We're free. We're free to love. To love God and to love each other. Paul says, live into that freedom. Claim that freedom. Claim that freedom. Because it's the freedom that really, truly brings life. Friends, that's what we are called to be. That's what we are called to do. Let us go out into the world on this week when our country will be shooting firecrackers and proclaiming our political freedom. Let us go out in the world and show them what real freedom looks like. Real freedom looks like love. Love that we have for God and the love that we have for one another. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for all that you are. We give you thanks at the freedom that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. a freedom won not on battlefields, a freedom won not in boating boots, a freedom won not in streets, but a freedom that was won on the cross through the shedding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's blood for all of us. We ask that you help us to live into that freedom. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be. Help us to be open to the movement of your Spirit in our lives. Send us out into the world as your new people, the people who live through the power of the Spirit and the freedom of the Spirit. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.